Texas Monthly.
Hey there, I'm John Spong with Texas Monthly Magazine, and this is One by Willie, a podcast in which I talk each week to one notable Willie Nelson fan about one Willie song that they really love. And on this episode, country music legend Wynonna Judd talks about one of Willie's best-loved songs, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. It was, of course, his first number one single back in 1975, and it makes Wynonna think about being a young girl listening to the radio at her grandparents' home in Kentucky, about hanging with Willie backstage at the CMA Awards once she'd finally made it, and how sweet Willie was when he met her grandmother. Let's do it.
These are...
In twilight glow I see blue eyes crying in the rain.
I will start by asking what is probably the most ridiculous question I feel I've ever asked anyone. What's the big deal about Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain?
So what's significant about this song? It is a song that I think, okay, you have, what would be your top 10 list, right? It's one of those. I think it's like when people say, you know, the Judds, it would be Grandpa. It's just a significant piece of work.
Right. Well, so if, imagine you encounter somebody who's never heard Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, and you don't have your guitar to play it for them, and you don't have a jam box or whatever we used to call those to put the cassette in. What's the song about? What's so special about the way he did it?
Oh my gosh, this is interesting. I live for words. I live for lyrics. It's my life. I mean, I started singing and playing it when I was nine.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear, someday when we meet up yonder, we'll stroll hand in hand in the land that knows no parting, blue eyes crying in the rain. So that, okay, take that. That's a snapshot. Then you take, for me, I love movies. I love corny, you know, movies. In the twilight glow, I see them, blue eyes crying in the rain. When we kissed goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again. The man is a deep, deep well of emotion as a writer. I've watched him sing. He makes me cry. I used to stand on the side of the stage and listen to him and go, I'm just devastated by his lyrics, by his voice, by his, you talk about stylist, that's a whole nother chapter.
And of course, the thing is, with a song like this one that's so closely associated with Willie, you know, people forget he didn't even write it. Fred Rose did.
I think everything that comes out of that man's mouth, he wrote. And you know why? Because I believe him.
Yeah.
And I believe what he's singing because people assume I wrote Grandpa. I mean, that's just the way it is,
yeah.
Right? Because
yeah.
You believe it. And it's, it, I might not have written, I tell people, I might not have written that song, but I sang it because my papa and my mamma were the most significant people in my life. I believe Willie, when he's singing it, that it's his song. Because it is.
When he comes to own it, you know, and
yeah, that's what I, yeah.
Love is like a dying ember, and only memories remain.
Talk about his vocal there. His voice is so distinct. And by now, it's so familiar that it's easy to miss the nuances, I think. You know, and it, but when he sings, like, sometimes he's almost whispering. I mean, what do you hear him doing? You're the vocalist.
It's like he doesn't sound like he's having to put much effort because it's who Willie is. It's like he's breathing. He's thinking out loud. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's literally sitting there. I call it think singing. When you say what's on your mind because it's your thought and you're saying it in real time, there's no filter. There's no, I'm trying to be this, I'm trying to be that. I'm trying to put a little twist on it that sounds jazzy. I'm trying to be technically, no, it's Willie. And the way he sings is the way he talks. He talks and sings the same way. So it's interesting to me to hear that because it reminds me of just how honest, how real the man is.
Well, and then still though, it's going to be a little hard to do that while playing the guitar that well, right?
It's very, very much part of who he is. Again, it's like his voice and the guitar are as one.
Yeah.
In other words, the dun 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 dun, that's Willie. So yeah. That's a signature thing, and you come to expect it. So it's just part of his entire being.
Yeah.
It's an appendage.
And that's one of the things that is so Well, wonderful about the song, but also interesting to think about because the sparseness of it, the focus, Mickey's harmonica is, you know, a great bed in the background, but it's Willie's voice and it's Trigger, the guitar. And I actually did some digging a second ago and saw, because of course it was Willie's first number one country hit. The number one song that it replaced was Daydreams About Night Things by Ronnie Millsap. And then the week before that, or the number one before that, was Rhinestone Cowboy by Glen Campbell. I love both of those songs, but Rhinestone Cowboy is literally a song about bombast. You know, it is riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. To go from that to just Willie in an easy chair with that guitar and that voice, that's probably akin to what the Sex Pistols did over in England. It was just such an abrupt change for the world.
That's what I love about music, in a way, that you can go from the polished, and I've heard this saying, it's as slick as snot on a doorknob. And you hear all those sayings, because that's where country music was, right? Like you said, Rhinestone Cowboy. So you can go from that to a gut bucket, gut string guitar playing. When you would watch Willie, you'd see a band and you'd see guys, and they were certainly a collective sound. And yet, the way that Willie looked at and talked to Mickey, you got the sense that he was a trusted member of his inner circle, his tribe.
And that's Mickey Raphael, the harmonica player.
Yes, yeah. Yes. You got the impression, and this is really important, I think, it was Mickey is as important to the sound, Willie's music, as Willie himself, if that makes sense. It wasn't Willie Nelson, and he hired a bunch of musicians, and they flew in from L.A., they played on the album, and they left to go back home. These people lived together, they loved together, and they performed music together, and it was all about the fellowship as well. I don't know that that exists today as much. Mm-hmm. I just remember thinking that was so unique and special, because Mom and I, being a duet, it was the two of us, and Don Potter was the guitar player, co-producer. That was our tribe. And then the producer, Brent Mayer, that was our, you know, musical family. Mm-hmm. Willie's musical family included Mickey, to the point where I don't know that Willie ever did anything without Mickey. Isn't that interesting?
And Willie does so many different kinds of things, but Mickey's the guy that goes with him no matter what. If he does a jazz album for Blue Note, Mickey is with him. If he goes and plays with Wynton Marsalis at the Lincoln Center Jazz deal, Mickey goes with him.
To me, Mickey and Willie are, where you see one, you see the other one. And I'm not even sure how long Mickey has been with Willie. You tell me.
That's the beautiful thing about picking Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, because that song in that album, Redheaded Stranger, was the first time Mickey shows up. That's one of the things that is so special.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. That's, mind blown. I didn't know that. And here we are all these years later. What an interesting journey this is. Dang.
Someday when we meet up yonder, we'll stroll hand in hand again.
Well, so when you hear, do you think of Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain as its own thing, or do you hear it as part of the album? Redheaded Stranger tells this bigger story.
I don't. I you know why? And this is my age showing. When you're my age and you... I remember, just like if you hear Patsy Cline singing Crazy, it's a moment.
Right.
It's a by itself thing. The song, back in my day of the 80s especially, I was singles driven.
Yeah.
Because that's my career, my life at the time. We're so hit driven too. Radio.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Radio. I come from the era of radio, and that's just that. So Willie, at my age at the time, I knew it because that's the single, and that's the popular song.
Yeah.
And that's just historical for me.
Well, so walk me through that then. You're born in Kentucky and get to L.A. when you're 4 or 5?
Yeah, I was in Hollyweird when I was 4. Ashley was born in California, yes, from Kentucky to L.A., yeah.
Did you take some country music with you? Is that what you listened to in the house?
I don't remember anything other than some real personal stuff of living where we did, which was so bizarre. We lived in a neighborhood, which was like, what? What's a neighborhood? You know, you had your bike and sidewalks. It was very strange. Being from Appalachia, being from Kentucky, my grandparents, I'd go back to the bluegrass state from California. It was very odd. It's literally the bi-coastal, like, California is such a weird island of sun, and we lived right above Sunset Strip, so it was a very wild, like, I'm in a movie. And then I'd go back to Kentucky and live with my grandparents, and my Papa Judd owned a filling station, and my Nana was a cook, so very different.
Right.
And I had both experiences, and I think that's really who I am today.
Willie would be somebody you heard on the radio then. It didn't sound like y'all were buying albums and cassettes, but...
Not at the time I was... I got into music, if you will. Like, I remember us moving back to Morrill, Kentucky, outside Berea, Kentucky, and we lived on a mountaintop, no TV, no telephone. And my first memories of really music, listening to anything, because we didn't watch television, was the Opry. And I remember listening to the radio, and I would hear Willie on the radio. That was my only connection. I was probably 9 or 10 years old.
And through the ages, I'll remember blue eyes crying in the rain.
I remember every second with that man. I remember backstage at CMA. I remember having a conversation with him and my grandmother. I remember being in the dressing room talking to Johnny Cash. That's the most beautiful story. Part of my story is those characters. I love Waylon, and I got to be around them, and it was glorious.
What'd your grandmother and Willie talk about? What'd the three of you get into? What happened there?
He was, and I love this so much, because nowadays, I don't know if you can have this, that authentic, real moment, because everybody's on such a... Look, when you're backstage and you're at CMA, for instance, and he was sitting in the director's chair about to go on, and everybody's just hanging out. That's what I used to love about CMA. And I'll be honest, when it changed, I was brokenhearted, because everybody got their own bus. And I remember the year that it was all of a sudden it occurred to me that nobody was backstage anymore, because everybody was on their tour bus, right? Because they're all million-dollar everything. And so... That's kind of sad, because used to be it was fellowship, and the dressing rooms were overflowing with artistry.
Wow.
I remember, you know, Marty Stewart over in the corner. I remember Ricky Skaggs. You would see 4 or 5. Merle Haggard, you would see all of them sitting together.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. That's so amazing. I'd close my eyes and see everybody. Oh, that's another thing. You know, you don't pass in the hallway and they're on their way to the stage. You stand there and you talk. And you could talk to Dolly, and you could talk to Tammy Wynette.
Wow.
And that's my memory. So Willie is standing there, and I brought my grandmother to the CMA because we're new, and it's all exciting, and I've just won the lottery, and, you know, it's just amazing. And he's sitting there. Honestly, he talked to my grandmother like he'd known her, you know, his whole life. Again, he's standing there on stage singing, and then he's sitting there. He's Willie Nelson. It's not like he's different. It's the same. And so he would talk to my grandmother, and I remember... her being so enamored, I don't know that she had anything really in common to say or to speak about. He knew she was my grandmother, and you know what he was? He was respectful and he was kind. That's the word. I remember kindness, and I remember people had time.
Love is like a dying ember, and only memories remain.
So when Willie did the duets record a couple years ago, To All the Girls I've Loved Before was the title, where it was all duets with female singers. You did Bloody Mary Morning, right?
Yes.
Did you pick the song? How did that start?
I'll tell you what's funny. I don't think you pick anything. I think you wait for the phone to ring. If you're me especially, you literally go, what do you mean he's calling me? Oh, cool. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they called me and basically said, you know, it's like kind of being called to the principal's office. Like they call you and you show up, right? Because
right.
You know you're in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. I knew I had to learn the song. And like you talk about him, oh my gosh. It was just, I was so overwhelmed by the thought of trying to keep up with Willie Nelson. Like, okay, I know that I'm professional. I know I'm capable. That's not the point. It's just a big deal, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going, what could I possibly do? No, and then I realized, no, just show up and try to keep up, man. And that's the way I went in to do it, because Willie was sitting there, and I'm standing there going, and I have my pencil. I remember this. I had my pencil in my hand, and I had to tap it out because he sings behind the beat. Willie has an incredible way, like when you play Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, tap it out, and it's not on tempo all the time. He's just doing it, right? It's like talking. Sometimes it goes faster, sometimes it goes slower. So I had to stand there and tap it out because Willie sings behind the beat. And I thought, well, it's like echo. If he goes behind the beat, I'm screwed. That's just my mind. That's the way my brain works. You know, I don't use those words very often, but I felt like it was going to be me in the Olympics. If I don't do it just right, I'm going to get a 6.4. And I remember thinking that. I just remember saying to myself, don't blow it, kid. That's kind of what I heard in my head. Don't blow it, kid. Just try to keep up with the master.
And so a lot of times when people duet with Willie, especially these days, they send a tape in. Everything's produced and the tracks are sent to Perdinalis, to Willie's studio, and he just goes in by himself and does his vocals. But no, as you're saying, you actually got to sing with him, same mic and everything, I guess, right?
I did. No, we were separate because I would have had a contact high. And I wouldn't have gotten anything done. I just would have wanted to order a pizza.
Okay.
I think I started crying when I first saw him, and he was standing there, you know, talking in the control room, and he has white in his eyebrows and in his ponytail, and I just got really emotional because it was like, oh, my gosh. Because
wow.
I hadn't seen him in a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And it caught me so by surprise, and I thought, he looks smaller in terms of like when your grandpa does get older and he's sweeter and he's got on a cute sweater. Not that he was wearing one, but it's like, I wanted to go over and hug him, and I think I might have. So I was all caught up, man. I was in the movie. I was watching the movie, and I'm in the movie. How weird and how wonderful. And he sat over there. We both had our headsets on, our headphones, and I hear him talk back, and I'm talking. I'm trying not to talk too much, and I am, I'm sure. And he's just a consummate, you know, expert on being Willie.
Right.
there's no recipe. There's just nothing that's even remotely manipulating, and he's just Willie, and we're singing, and I screw it up a bunch of times, and he's patient, and he's the, you know, he's the older dog with the puppy, and I'm going, oh my God.
Well, it's a bloody Mary morning, and I'm leaving, baby, somewhere in L.A. Now it's a bloody Mary morning, baby, left me without warning sometime in the night. And I'm flying down to Houston for getting her the nature of my flight.
I think when I want to find meaning in my life, I go to certain things. The Word of God, and I still read it, and I still study because I want to know. Willie Nelson to me is as important to me personally and professionally as, you know, the Word of God and my faith is to me. And I think that's important to say because I think we get so lost in, you know, this song went to this number on the charts, and honestly, at the end of the day, who cares? Because what I remember about Willie, the thing that really keeps me going, is that he's a great listener, and he stood there and listened.
Yeah.
Willie's present, and Willie was present the day I was with him in the studio, and he listened, and he was really joyful and sweet, and he made you feel like you mattered and you were important, and that what you were saying, he was listening.
The most beautiful thing you said today for me, and that I keep coming back to, is you're saying this now, he was sweet to your grandmother.
Oh my God, he was so sweet. And she died last year. She was 91 years old, and she and he had the same red hair. They had the same red hair, and I think that might have been what I said, something about red hair, because, of course, we're redheads, and he's just standing there talking to my grandmother, and she just feels like the queen of the world. And I thought, yep, he's got my heart for all of eternity because he was kind to my grandmother, so done.
Done.
It's a done deal.
Done.
The thing I'll remember about Willie are not the hits, not, I mean, I will, but that's over here, is just how kind just how kind he's always been to me. And I'm the same, you know, kid in a way. I've had a lot of success. I've had a lot of failure. And I don't care where we are or what we're doing. And I see Willie Nelson. I know that if I walk up to him, he'll turn around and he'll look at me and he'll say something kind and he'll look at me like I matter. The last thing I'll say about the man is, and this is so corny, I'm becoming my mother here. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. He's one of the few left who's still kind.
In a land that knows no part, blue eyes cry in the rain.
All right, Willie fans, that was the great Wynonna Judd. A big thanks to her for talking to us about Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. And, of course, a big thanks to you for tuning in. If you dig the show, please subscribe or visit our page at Apple Podcasts and give us some stars. Next week, one of the greatest country songwriters who ever lived, Sonny Throckmorton, will talk to us about one of Willie's very early and very little-known compositions, What a Way to Live. One by Willie is a Texas Monthly production. The executive producer is Megan Kreit. The show is produced and engineered by Brian Standifer. And the graphic design is done by Emily Kimbrough and Victoria Milner. And I'm your writer and host, John Spong. See you guys next week.